This is an interview with Belknap Emery, Clarence Emery, and Al Bowman, who grew up in Westboro in the early 20s and 1930s. Westboro grew into the industrial hub of New England.
Was that lost, Miss?
That was early, very early in the 30s that he got started. Paul Smith lived next to Michael Berry.
Was he in the farms?
Now, why would an airport go into Westboro?
It was a big flat piece of land. It didn't really go
in. I mean,
in.
There were other big flat pieces of land.
I don't think it didn't really start, you know. Somebody gets an airplane, we've got to land this thing somewhere, you know, and all of a sudden there's the first plane, and one thing I think sort of led to another.
Who was connected with it
particularly? The brothers DeJean, you know, who were auto mechanics in Worcester, you know. So they weren't there initially, were they?
Yeah.
Do you know what their first names were at all?
They started.
You know their name, first name at all?
Lucian was one of the DeJeans. Brothers, or three brothers. I can't remember the other names. Hey, Red LeBaron, I'll tell you about that. You know Red?
Yeah, a little bit anyway, so that I mean, can ask
his
him.
His family.
It's right around.
I mean, he's always lived there, as far as I know.
Okay. And then the Speedway. I don't know when that went in either. Do you have any idea?
That went in 40. It was off out of DeBoer's.
46 or thereabouts.
Was DeBoer across the street as well on both sides?
Both sides of the street, yes.
Okay.
The little one was a celery patch.
Big change from a celery patch to a seed.
Well, place there to begin with.
Yeah, but the Blue Dairy or something. Sam DeBoer built that barn, which is still standing there. Across from
that was about the third one, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, Sam did have a little Jewish lightning there.
Yes. Every 2 or 3 years, he used to have
a
fire with the barn.
You shouldn't use that expression, though.
His barn's disappeared in fire.
I think that's the third one, as
okay.
I recall.
But now, what are you? Did you go to Speedway? Did kids, Westboro kids, go to Speedway much, or was it mainly out of town?
It was after our time, wasn't it?
After?
Not much, no.
Oh yeah, you were. That was later too.
It was after the war, wasn't it?
Yeah.
46, 47.
Were the kids did it all? I can't remember. We didn't.
No.
And the airport also. And just you were just saying that electricity came in, and you think that you got electricity, you said, in 36?
I always came in 36. I was going to trade school then.
So you were heating the house, well, you were heating the house by wood anyway, right?
Yeah.
And I can't even think of washing by what? Scrub?
Mother Holden, my mother's mother, lived on Summer Street, and she had a washing machine. And she did much of mother's washing, laundry for her.
But you read by kerosene, washed your own dishes naturally. Kerosene lamps, you were saying, before that.
We had a washing machine in 1920. Mother was reminded me of that. When I came, it was time to get a washing machine.
Well, that's pretty good.
Bell bought grandma the first refrigerator she had.
So you remember ice boxes as kids,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
And the iceman came to you, did he? Or did you?
Well, we had our own ice for part of the year.
Yeah, you were.
We bought ice for part of the year.
Princess, what about the
Emery? The iceman came in Daffy.
Okay.
And,
once a week? How that worked? Did an iceman come once a week? Or?
Only twice.
Depended on the weather.
Hot summer, they were about three times a week.
He had a schedule.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem to me we'd call him. It seems to me he came by himself.
Yeah, you put the ice card in the window.
Put the ice card in the window.
Oh, yeah, you have a little red card. And when it ice, you put the card up in the window. And if he didn't see the card up, he didn't stop. Saved a lot of footsteps that way.
And also, you had your own cow, so that you didn't have the milkman come around. But was it the Fay? The Fay, Kendall Fay was the milkman in town for a long time.
One of them.
Others that were delivered to townspeople.
Were they?
All right, the smaller farms, smaller dairies, and everything.
No, Mr. Newton, didn't he deliver milk for years?
Yeah.
Okay. Also, you've seen Westboro change a lot. What was it How would you characterize Westboro, let's say, before World War II? What? It seemed like there were two kinds of Westboro. There was the downtown Westboro that had factories in it and more of the people working in the factories. And then almost as soon as you got to the country club, let's say, or out beyond.
Bill and his crew raised most of the hell. The rest of it was quiet.
The rest of you guys were good guys. But it was a farming community, that, and then there was a downtown community, a two...
Yeah, farming and manufacturing, yeah. And a pretty good balance.
Yeah, the kids was more of a balance
between
many of the other towns. A lot of people came to Westboro to do their shopping. Like Upton, Grafton, Northbrook, Shrewsbury. They came down. We had the first A&P, the first National. You know, it didn't happen in the other towns. And I can remember my aunts and uncles in the other towns coming to Westboro to do the shopping.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yes.
I wonder when they must have...
Upton and Grafton.
This is in the 30s.
Yeah. Nashville.
Oh, so it's happening again, too. It's interesting.
Plus we had other stores as well as those that... Well, now, what's Upton got for a store? What do they got for a store today? What's Grafton got? Other than the shopping center, and that's relatively...
Well, putting Hodie's in there.
Well, yes, but that's relatively new.
And that you think that the A&P and First National went in about the 30s, you said? Now, was there any...
Early 30s.
Was there any difference between the farm kids and the kids from downtown, or did they blend pretty well in school?
The farm kids took their lunch to school and the town kids went home for lunch.
That was about the only
difference. Big difference.
Well, they served lunch at school.
What do you say? Kids took their dinners. They were.
Oh, barge kids,
yeah.
Kids that rode the barge to school. But did you guys do that?
Sure.
Did you ride the barge?
We never rode
the
barge.
No.
Oh,
walk?
You're too close in.
Okay.
Maybe a mile.
Sounds like people got along pretty well in town, though. There were always there were sections of town, I guess, down by the Tree Street, down by Bay State.
I don't know. The town is a lot more tolerant now than it was then.
Really? Well, small town versus.
Yeah. You didn't walk in the days to tell a joke about the guineas. Well, they laid a knife for the counter and you had to explain it, see.
Ah, I've heard about Guineaville.
Today you can go in and tell a joke about the guineas and the wops. And then they say, hey, that's all right, but did you hear the one about the,
But people were more proud and defiant, maybe, in keeping.
And the religious sharp difference between the Protestant and the Roman Catholic. And generally, they didn't mingle very much socially, and they didn't cross date either.
Well, that's interesting, too. That's right. That's a different...
It is much more liberal and tolerant now than I think
I suppose. It was in those days.
My brother Dick remembers about trying to go with this girl who lived down on Elm Street and dance to the... He could go, but he couldn't use the cab.
Hard to walk around.
Dick wanted to go, don't see you, he's all right, but he couldn't use the car and go there.
Now, there was some reason that I went out of town.
Now, as far as economics, were they basically, I was just talking to Charlotte Spinney, and she was saying she thought it was basically a middle class town and more or less in the same economic boat.
I don't know if you can generalize that. It wasn't a mill town.
No. But she was saying there weren't too many real sharp distinctions or
there wasn't any
poles.
Any great wealth, and there wasn't any groaning poverty either.
Yeah, that's I think her point was. No?
As compared to some of the other towns.
A few went away to school, and most of us didn't.
And people knew each other.
In the group that started the first grade, went all the way through, graduated together. You lost a few because
not
of
a lot of, not a lot of people moving in and out.
No, not
back in those days. A few got married and a few didn't make the grade, couldn't graduate, but most of them right through and graduated.
Would people tend to settle in Westboro if they grew up in Westboro? You all did, which is interesting.
Sun, yes, in summer.
Yeah.
It was the war, the end of the end of it,
after
the war.
After the Second War, things all changed.
Changed
at that
everything.
Time. Some people never came back, or just had different ideas, had seen different things at that time.
Industry had begun to grab a lot of people.
We always had industry in Westboro.
Right.
Of all the towns around here, I think Westboro had the best mix of industry of any. Like Upton would have a hat factory, but that's all they had. We had several different things, particularly with the advent of Bay State. There was a lot of little things around town, like the machine shops and Viac and the.
What are some of them that you remember besides Bay State then? I know there was a tannery, right?
Yes, there was a tannery and Jazz Mason's Nell Fabric Shop and Kenworthy's.
Kenworthy's made, was it leather or, I mean canvas, like somebody said.
Jazz Mason specialized in narrow fabrics.
And
yes.
What do you do with narrow? It's a tape.
It's tape.
Like tape, right? But used in sewing or clothes manufacture?
They did at that time, yes. That was one of the things, so for bindings and all sorts of things of that nature.
And you were saying Kenworthy? Yeah.
They were making raincoats when Bill Tapero worked.
Yes.
Well, I was there.
They did rubberizing fabrics.
Okay. And then it was the shoe factory, and they were, what did they make?
Where's your shoe factory?
Above the underwear factory on where VARC is now.
Rasmussen, the name of the shoe company, and they manufactured, I don't know, I think it was a dress shoe.
Where were they, Phil?
Upstairs.
They were in the top two floors or so.
What was the big fat kid that went to school with us? Went to school in dish class, it was a son of one of them. He was a big fat kid, tall.
No.
He never got along well.
And then the hat factory was for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a lot of factories that put people to work.
Tufts Machine Shop has been there for a long time.
Tufts used to be down where Marcus Mason was.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And they moved down and bought the carbine.
Yeah, that's quite a long time ago.
Yeah, after the trolleys then, so that must have been the 20s. And
well, it was empty there for, they bought it.
So Marcus Mason went out of business.
Around the 1930s. I remember we bought a 37. They weren't there in 1937 because we bought a 1937 Plymouth. And Charlie Wardell used to store his cars down there.
Uh-huh.
They went down there and looked at it one dark night. So Tufts wasn't there then. I think they were there a year or so after that.
Yeah.
Okay. And
By the way, Bartlett's?
Box and Lumber Company.
Was that going?
Yes.
That was going up to
Bay State.
Oh, the 30s.
Yeah, they about died by the time Bay State was
growing.
Yeah. Well, that's where O'Neill had his place, where O'Neill and Kimball started their business over there. Wasn't that the Baker Box place? Not the Baker Box, but Bartlett Box?
Yeah, well, that was down where the Bay State buildings are now.
It was?
Yeah.
There was an armor company, too, Armor Beef.
Armor?
Mm-hmm. Maybe that was even before that.
Well,
there
I
was
heard of that.
Okay, that I heard. That was longer than, long ago.
And there was the tannery down on B Street.
And so there was a mixture, because there were a lot of farms, and there were a lot of dairies, and there were orchards on the outskirts, and they seemed to be pretty.
And as towns went, it had the shopping, it had the industry, a mixture of industry. This is why people came to Westboro to do shopping.
Mm. It's interesting. And now, unfortunately, we're losing our farms, but we've got the industry instead.
Lost
them.
Lots of the Irish came at the time of the potato famine. Westboro and Hopkinton both, I guess, probably all along the East Coast.
And they came because there's industry here to work in, too, right?
Yeah. They took the full-paying job.
This also attracted the group from Nova Scotia that came down in the
they were a little later.
Late 20s.
Yeah.
Potato famine was when? That was early.
Yeah.
Potato famine was when?
1845.
That was a long time ago.
That was the beginning of the Irish
wave.
Immigration, you know.
Now, do you know anything about the locomobile?
Which?
No. Okay, that's
it's
too
car.
Early. It's a car.
It
was
in Worcester, wasn't it?
It was made in Westboro for a while on Beach Street, but Billy Small or something like that.
That would have been down in the old bicycle shop, probably,
mm-hmm.
which became the tannery.
Well, yep. The bedstead down there.
But the,
where they made
the Billy,
bed frames and
yeah.
things.
The locomobile was one of the first ones to be made. It was a luxury car.
Yeah.
And it started out being manufactured here, but only for a short period of time. But I have to trace that one back.
Well, now Springfield was on Milk Street, which is now the VFW.
Oh, VFW, okay.
Oh, is it so?
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay.
I remember they moved it. I couldn't tell you where they moved it from.
I can remember the steamroller being kept in that shed there behind the town hall. Actually, it wasn't behind the town hall. It was sort of behind in one side.
Because they used those sheds once for fire engines. They used a lot of things before. But that was way before the fire station was built, which is in the 1880s. But
then there was the Westboro Public Market, which is now the Westboro Package Store. That was run by Sam Halpin.
Sam, now where is that, on the corner, are you saying?
Of the package store is.
Corner of South and West Main.
Both doors were open, so you could go all the way through from one side to the other.
Okay. And then coming up beside that, what was next?
Well, before the Foxes built that building, what stood there?
Okay, there was jewelers?
First National was there for a long time. Back almost as far back as I can remember.
On that side of the street?
Yeah, it used to be over in there somewhere. Then it moved across onto the other side of the corner.
Tommy Green's father ran it. Before he started to drink.
And then that went across the street in the corner, right, of Milk, eventually.
Wasn't Tom Green Green's up further?
Where the barber shop is?
Tom Green used to run the First National.
Oh, then he had a store of his own.
Oh.
What kind of store did he have, though, when he eventually...
I don't know, one of these kind of a one-man grocery stores.
The grocery stores, you used to go in and order,
yeah.
and they'd get things down for you, is that it?
You ordered them.
Well,
you put it on your charge account.
They delivered some of it to...
Okay. Do you remember the trolleys, taking the trolleys at all?
No.
I think they stopped in an ice storm. I was told there was an ice storm in 1922.
Yeah.
That really wiped out a lot of the lines.
Is that what line? That was the final
That's
occasion?
It's one of the, and they didn't repair a lot after that ice storm, except for the one running along Route 9, which continued until 1930. If you, do you remember that?
It only ran on Route 9 in certain places.
That's right. It stopped and cut
cut
across.
Well, when I crossed our land. In fact, my aunt sold the land of the railroad when they built it in 1900.
Okay. Now,
1899, rather.
Going up a little further in the 30s, do you remember any of the effect of the Depression or any of the WPA work done in Westboro?
Oh, yeah,
What happened then?
They rebuilt Chester Street.
Don't forget Gus Wagner, though. He was an institution.
Okay, Gus Wagner's Bakery. Is that it?
Yes.
And what do you remember about Gus Wagner's Bakery?
How it smelled.
Good?
Oh, yes.
Marvelous.
Yes.
All kinds of breads, or?
Oh, yes. Now, that was established sometime before World War I.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He had a white horse and a buggy, and he delivered bread every day all over town.
Oh,
sure.
I don't remember the delivery wagon.
Oh, sure. It came out to our house.
Who drove the wagon?
Old Gus did.
Old Gus himself?
Oh, yeah, he had that buggy, that white horse. Oh, yeah.
I don't remember that.
Well, he came out our side of town.
I can remember.
You just give him a call and
tell
him what you
want.
Remember Barney Yeager. Come in the afternoon.
Barney Yeager and Forbes and Newcomb's wagon.
Delivery wagon for Forbes and Newcomb.
Now they had horse and buggy, huh? That's what you're talking about.
Horse and wagon.
Sure. And that was right up until when? Through the 20s? Would they be still using wagons and horses?
I suppose the wagons and horses went out in the early 20s.
Well, I would say it was more along the late 20s.
Late 20s?
Yeah, I would think so, because I think Gus...
he was an old man. He probably would have refused to be quit from.
Well, no, he didn't. He was quite an elderly fellow, and he quit. And he eventually bought a Chevrolet pickup truck.
He did?
Yeah, he eventually bought the bread out of that.
Who else would be delivering in a wagon and horse You were saying you remember
McDonald's. Well, A.L. McDonald.
Who were they?
They delivered McDonald's.
They also the...
And they were down now where...
Across from Daisy's...
From Daisy's Diner.
Yeah.
And that's maybe where near where Mini Farms is now?
Yeah.
And was that also a market then?
Yeah.
Not where Mini Farms is, in the building easterly toward the station. But that's...
Same building.
Yeah, the TV.
I don't think so. It's a separate building. That's
yeah, that was
right.
A house.
It's
now there's the
there
TV video
that's
shop,
the one.
Right?
Yeah.
It's brown.
Whatever that block is.
New England Gym.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That was also then.
McDonald's.
What was his name?
McDonald's Market.
First.
A.L.
Yep.
I don't know what his first name was.
Arthur.
Arthur. Okay. And they delivered in horse and wagon too.
And he was the fat. He had two sons, Raymond and what is the little guy?
Let's see. Now we've got markets. We've got some movies.
What did Harry? Oh, you're thinking of Jackie Holler. What did Harry Furman come to town?
Harry Furman. That's right. He was up.
He was just above the bakery.
Yeah, he's a market.
Right in where the
Combing Oil.
Combing Oil. Well, right in there, somewhere.
What was his last name?
Furman. F-U-R-M-A-N.
One of the few Jewish.
People coming in.
Blackstone Market.
It was called Blackstone?
Blackstone Market, right.
And that was also in the 20s, you think?
Where Coney Oil was.
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know how long. He could have run.
He must have been, because...
Up to the war, I guess. There was a lot of kids. That was a family market, and he had two or three boys, and I think it was up to the Second World War. I think it depleted about that.
It doesn't seem as though Benji was in my class, the second boy, graduated, so I would have thought he'd have left.
Okay.
Maybe Benji quit school, I don't know.
Okay, now tell me about what you remember the 30s and the Depression and anything, WPA and all that.
Yeah.
Because that's a big gap in here I'd like to fill in.
They rebuilt Chester Street, where Chester Street had been a little dirt road.
Back at the other end of Chester, you couldn't hardly get through with an
automobile. They didn't plow it. They used
to
town plow.
They actually did something in town?
Bill Nelson.
They plowed everything in Westboro with one Model A Ford truck, which I later bought.
Yeah, and they plowed?
Charleston Bus Lines plowed the West Main Street.
They plowed West Main Street?
Yeah, so they get the buses through.
Oh, no, I'd forgotten that. I didn't realize that.
The trolleys had quit, and Charleston took over.
And
Charleston ran, where did that run?
Westboro to Worcester.
Along what?
Hockenden. They ran a Hockenden. They went to Marlboro or not. Their main garage was down there where Erickson's garage is at the present time.
Okay. And that bus ran pretty often, I would guess. That was one of the main...
I really don't know. It was good bus service.
Maybe every 2 hours in the afternoon. But
where was the bus stop? All over the place, or was it?
Yeah, all over the
place. You go out and where there was a body flagging it down. Huh?
Yeah,
I mean, there wasn't a depot particularly,
no,
or like a trolley. Trolley had a depot, but this didn't, huh? Now, what about the trains at that time? The trains run freely? When did the trains stop running regularly to Boston? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Well, that was after World War II.
Okay.
You have to ask, if you didn't ask Harold Hickox.
Yep.
Yeah,
presumably, he went down and saw the last train.
He was standing to look at him.
Went through Westboro. He went down and stood in the tracks. And the last train went through Westboro.
Okay.
He cried. He was a...
I'd like to see the trains back again, too, though.
He was a buff.
Okay.
Well, he sure ought to have them back.
Well, the trolley crash was in 1929 and 30. Then, of course, after they rebuilt Route 9 in 1930, and then, of course, they... trolleys became buses on Route 9.
Okay.
This is why I'm not familiar with your buses over this side. We were on the other side. Yeah. We had the B&W bus ran straight Route 9 then from Boston to Worcester.
After it was 1930.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think that was part of the downfall of Charleston. I mean, they skimmed a lot of... They were running hourly over there, and, you know, it was an expanded service. And
sounds like people were not taking the train into Boston much, though.
Well, up until the end of World War II,
Would people commute, for instance, at all? Would they work Or did most people?
Yes, a lot of people switch in Boston.
A lot of people.
A lot of them commuted to Boston.
Because Lou Wong did for years, didn't he? He commuted to Boston.
Okay, so that would be right up, right along. I mean, in 20s, 30s?
Yeah.
I don't, okay. Teens, maybe?
When I came home from the service, during the service on furlough, I usually came into Westboro by train and got off.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, Mr. Longbottom, of all names, was down at the station.
What was the station like? I mean,
same as it is.
Same as now?
You'd seen one of them, you'd seen them all.
Yeah,
really?
All
so
basically the same.
And still was named.
Yeah.
Pretty.
Who was the man on West Street? Mr. Walker was.
Bert Wong.
Yeah,
he was in the station.
Yep.
For years and years and years.
After Mr. Longbottom.
Yep. Me and Bill Ray Phipps.
They got the big gold watches that were about so big. You know, and kept marvelous time and
he tried to time the thing, sell tickets. He was the station master or whatever.
He was out the freight house too some of the time, I think.
Okay. Now I'm trying to get you off to the 30s though and see what happened. What do you remember? Remember the Depression in Westboro much?
Very well.
What do you remember of it?
We were all poor as church mice.
But we were poor anyway.
Speaking of the WPA, every time you went to Worcester, you know up at Route 20, when you come in Route 20 onto Route 9, mm-hmm. there's a wall around there about yay high with a cement top on it. Well, they had about 50 people up there keeping fires going in barrels.
Whoa,
I think
that.
It took them about 2 years to build that little stinking wall around it. That was the most farcical thing I ever saw in my life.
And
Total, utter waste of manpower.
That's too bad.
And all the fathers and conservatives like Allerton, all the fathers stand up in the heat. It was a prime example of waste of
It's too bad. What did you remember anything else besides Chestnut Street in Westboro that they were used for?
I don't remember them doing anything in Westboro.
Well, they built a retaining wall along the downhill side of it.
Oh.
Okay, I know they did something in Upton State Forest. There was a logging camp.
Yeah.
Do you remember?
That was the CCC, wasn't it?
Well,
that was the CCC.
No, all right. Now, was that part of this? I've got to get this. What was the CCC?
Well, Roosevelt initiated that. Civilian Conservation Corps.
They cleaned up the woods. And
they were separate things.
Promoted forestry.
Yes, totally. That was federal.
Yeah.
Separate federal agencies.
And two or three Westboro boys were in it. I think you got $30 a month, and you had to send 25 of it home.
Hmm.
They got room and board up there.
Yeah.
They lived there.
And they got their clothes and their food.
Well, they did get clothes.
Yeah. They issued them World War I Army uniforms, largely.
Oh, Herbert was in it.
Yeah, well, Francis Dempsey. I can remember Dempsey coming home every once in a while. He was down in Plymouth. And he could take a bus or a train to get to Plymouth. And then he had to walk 12 miles into the camp.
Mm.
And he did this with some degree of regularity. He'd be home every month or so. And walk this 12 miles in when he got back down there.
Wow. And in this area, there was something in the Upton State Forest.
Yeah.
And must have part of it in Westboro at all? I don't know. There
some
was
of the CCC boys came to Westboro.
But some of them did come from Westboro.
The land area?
Mm.
But they weren't.
Sure, the land area extended into Westboro or not? Or was that all physically in Upton?
I think physically in Upton. Yeah.
The boys came to Westboro.
Oh, they came. Yeah, the fellows that were involved in it came from all the towns.
Well, they were young men, it sounds like. It was a youth aimed at younger men.
Yes,
Welcomed in the nice homes in Westboro.
Any more than Ivy has traditionally been.
Okay, anything else that you remember about Depression in Westboro, except that people on the farm seem to have perhaps had more food and at least
there
was milk and food and eggs and beef.
We never had any problem with food because we had everything we raised, milk and chickens and cattle and vegetables and all. But I can remember Father and I hunting around for 15 cents to get a can of tobacco. not having it, you know. And then Mother worked with a knitting group at the library.
Tea.
Yeah.
two windows. Or one window, two windows. One window, was it two windows or one window?
What was that for? What, when you're saying worked for a knitting?
Was it one window or two windows?
I can't remember.
What year would this have been in Belmont? Early 30s?
Well, we were playing Monopoly when she was gone, weren't we?
That's important.
Sure. February, in the February vacation.
How you remember that? Good for you. Things that stick in your mind. Now, what was the purpose of the knitting group? How did they make money?
It was a thinly disguised welfare fund.
Well, how would they get money? Who would they be paid
for?
Well,
the government bought the yarn, and I think Mother got $9 a week.
Mrs. Bullen, where
money? Yeah, Irene Bullen. Yeah, George Bullen's abrasive business was, well, it was alive, but just barely.
When did that, yeah, that was going on?
Well, George split off from Bay State.
Mm-hmm.
When did Bay State start?
He started with Bay State.
Yes, I know he did. Do you remember when Bay State started?
Late 20s, supposedly, and I'm going to get
yeah,
the specific
get
date from them.
Oh.
But Bullard then was in the 30s, do you think?
Yeah, and he moved over to Mr. Coombs' paint shop, which was out on the corner of Cottage and Brigham.
That I don't remember.
He tore that down last year, or the year before last.
And that's where he started his Bay State, his
Mr.
Bullard.
Mr. Coombs, who lived on Parkman Street, manufactured paint in that shop there on Brigham and